Chapter 5 "Siskern?" I questioned, when the freight train rumble from above us didn't sound like it was lessening, and the tremors under our feet only grew and grew. "What is that?"
"Avalanche," he whispered,
and his pupils contracted into thin vertical lines as the first billows of white could be seen plummeting from the peaks.
"Avalanche!"
"Mother of Mercedes," I breathed, as I returned my swords to their scabbard, and then ran to the edge of the ledge. Below was the sheer slope we'd all just painstakingly trudged up before attempting to weave our way through the spire rocks. On our way up, we passed a large outcropping of rock I could still see, about a quarter mile away, that we all might be able to shelter under. If we could get to it.
"We need to move, now! Take cover under that slanted rock!"
My voice almost didn't make it above the roar of the avalanche, and I leapt over a rock in order to help Siskern with the ex-regent's sled. With Horace's help, we were able to give Siskern a running start before catching up with the rest of the pack as we tore toward the natural shelter of the outcrop.
"Ah!"
Ryland suddenly yelled as the toe of his boot connected with a rough patch, which caused him to go down hard. I skidded to a halt after I flew past him, and I doubled back when he wobbled on his ankle.
"Come on!"
I shouted, and threw him over my shoulder in a fireman carry.
"Dad!"
Ryland screamed.
"It's getting closer!"
Chunks of snow and ice were beginning to slam into the ground in front of us like missiles, and I lengthened my stride to cover more ground. Then my heart almost fell through the earth when I saw Siskorn's sled nearly flip over. A piece of the frame came loose and flew at me like a spear, and I had to dodge out of its path. Thankfully, the ambassador and his brother made it under the slanted rock after Horace and Nemus helped slow their descent when their speed threatened to send the raptor and dino brothers careening completely past, just like Rylan and I were about to.
"We're going too fast!"
I felt Rylan bury his face into the middle of my back to prevent himself from staring at the, no doubt, terrifying tsunami of snow barreling down on us, hence why I refused to glance behind me. However, Rye's panicked observation was correct. We were going way too fast due to the downward angle.
"Alex!"
Zoe yelled, and she flung out her hand right as we were about to skid by. When I reached for it, she clasped my wrist and used our momentum to swing me under the outcrop just before the avalanche crashed down.
"Oof!"
I grunted, as Ryland and I fell into a tangle of bodies that attempted to break our fall. I laid there on the hard ground and watched the cascade of snow stream over our shelter like we were hunkering under a river rock. The slightly dazed feeling quickly left me as I listened to the roaring flow of snow above our heads, and I pulled myself to an upright position.
"Everyone in one piece?"
I asked, and I helped my son sit up so I could inspect his ankle. There were various disgruntled noises of affirmation, but I would take disgruntled over dead, so I counted that as a win.
"Ow!"
my son hissed as I gently palpated the bones in his foot. I removed my pack and went about doing a basic field dressing on the strained appendage as the rush of snow above us finally petered out. "How does that feel now?" I asked, as I finished tying off the bandage.
"Better,"
he smiled at me and put his boot back on.
"Thanks."
"Be careful next time or you'll send me to an early grave," I huffed, and mussed his sandy mop of hair.
"You think it's safe for us to go out there?"
my son queried as he squinted at the patch of sky visible from our shelter. The rest of the chatter cut out, and a hush descended as we listened for more telltale signs of the avalanche, but all was eerily silent.
"It feels like it is over for now,"
Amaya said with one hand against the smooth surface of the jutting rock, and her eyes flashed their pearlescent glow.
"How is the regent?"
Shay asked.
"No change,"
Siskern mumbled as he made some adjustments to Siskorn's sled. Even though it was now a little banged up and somewhat worse for the wear, it was still passable. "How much time did we lose, Siskern?" I asked the ambassador. "How far does this put us away from the outpost?"
"Not far. However, I worry about traversing so much snow,"
the raptor man said.
"It is already hard to maintain my footing, but now I fear we must skirt around the issue, and that might take time we do not have."
I racked my brain for something we could use, and then I remembered the thorny vine rope I salvaged, and an idea clicked. "Everyone take off your shoes," I instructed, as I went about cutting two lengths of the rope, each measuring the length of my forearm. I decided I would test my theory with my own boot, so I took the rope, tied it into a basic loop, and then twisted it so it was fastened over the sole in a figure eight. Putting any pressure on the vine made the thorns poke out from their viney prison, and I figured this would be perfect to improve our traction through the snow. Pleased, I tossed my boot into the center of our crew. "Use that as an example for your own boots," I told them, as I rapidly cut up several more lengths of rope. "Siskern, would this work on your, feet?" The raptor man lifted a rope and then twined it around the large toe claws on his feet like some weird version of brass knuckles.
"This will do nicely," he commented, as he wiggled his now wrapped appendages, and with each movement, the thorns could be seen extending like cat claws.
"Let's just avoid anything that can set off an avalanche from here on out, okay?" I winked at Anwar to let her know I didn't blame her, and she made a show of sitting on her hands. After we all took time to modify our footwear, we were off again on our perilous hike of doom.
"We can pretty much keep on the way we were going, but we will have to approach the outpost from the east,"
Jenner said between breaths, about an hour or two after we outran the avalanche. He turned the map in his hands this way and that.
"Although this is just as horribly outdated as your other maps, Nemus." "I know outsider has been to the Terran shores in quite a long while,"
the captain said as he tied a maroon bandana around his head. "It'll be colder now that the sun is beyond its zenith, so we should take a moment to bundle up," I said as I looked over Jenner's shoulder at the map. It wasn't like we couldn't swap out our wardrobes while we hiked, but I noticed Siskern flagging as well as Rylan's limp worsening, and no offense to my trusty koala butler, but he wasn't exactly a spring chicken. Gelf pawed at my leg while everyone was busy pulling out their heavy liners and affixing them to their cloaks. "What is it, girl?" I patted the lizard-slash-weasel creature on the head, and she morphed so she was 5 times her regular size. She gazed at Rylan again, and then back at me with big puppy-dog eyes, and I sighed. "We've already been over this, girl. It's not safe for you to carry him." She moaned and shrunk back down. I patted her head again, and I had to admit I was amused at her antics. From the moment her human injured himself, she'd spent most of the hike trying to convince me to let him ride her. However, her feet were more attuned to dense forests, not barren inclines littered with sharp rocks. The reality was, Gelf had to spend most of the hike wrapped around Rai's neck because her feet were prone to cuts. But it was cute how much she wanted to help. Especially because when we rallied, the last push up to the outpost was the worst one yet, and I would need all the help I could get. For one, the narrow switchbacks during this part of the hike were loose and crumbling in places, which made traversing them a virtual nightmare. Several times we needed to slow our progress and help Siskorn's battered sled over the next rise. The poor man cried out when the frame banged against the cliff face as Horace and I lifted it up a ledge to Siskern, and the ex-regent's pained bellow forced a flock of screechers to take to the sky. The hungry, beady-eyed creatures had never stopped following us, and now their numbers were growing. One or two of the pterosaurs seemed harmless, but with their razor-like claws and sharp beaks, they could be a big problem in large numbers. I'd hoped at first we lost them after the avalanche, but that wasn't the case, and when they appeared again, they had brought friends. Since the tree line, they went from 3 to 30. On top of that, it also started to snow, which made the path icy and even more dangerous. The thorn vines around our feet were working somewhat okay, but for all the added weight Siskern had to drag, the ropes around his clawed toes began to lose their traction. It was right when our group was trekking up a snow-blanketed incline that Siskern finally lost the battle with the ramshackle sled and gravity.
"Rah!"
Siskern grunted as his feet failed to find purchase, and Horace, Zoe, and I had to help stop both reptile brothers from sliding down. It was a team effort, but when we finally manhandled the sled up to the top of the rise, Siskhorn was whimpering soft broken noises of true agony, and it was clear our handling of him exacerbated his condition.
"Siskhorn, we need to stop,"
I said when the raptor man immediately tried to push on.
"No, we're almost there,"
he argued with a determined growl and jerked at the harness.
"Gah!"
A wail ripped out of Siskhorn's mouth when he was jarred by his brother's ministrations, and finally the raptor man took in the scene.
"Siskhorn," he said, and sank down to his knees next to the sledge.
"Brother,"
the dino man croaked. The hard-won lucidity flickered in his eyes like a flame in the wind, and when he glanced at me, I instinctively knew what he was going to say next.
"It's time. We are not having that discussion again,"
Siskhorn said as the ridges on either side of his domed head flared.
"Siskhorn,"
the dino man said, and grasped his brother's wrist.
"No!"
He tried to pull away so he could continue on.
"The outpost is so close, I can feel it. There will be mounts posted as well as the guard, and they will have provisions for all of us, you'll see."
Siskhorn shook his head and garbled out a reply that was abruptly lost due to his constricted hacking. But I heard what it was.
"Ambassador," I said with my hand on his shoulder. "Listen to him. He's trying to tell you something."
"If it's not his readiness to keep climbing, then I don't want to hear it,"
Siskhorn huffed. "Zara," I said, with my arms crossed over my chest, and Siskern's face drained to an ashy complexion.
"What did you say?"
he finally asked. "Not me," I said before I jutted my chin in Siskorn's direction, and more cottony froth appeared at the corners of the ex-regent's mouth as he attempted to breathe through lungs that sounded wrecked beyond repair. "That's what he said just now." Siskhorn shattered even more and gazed down at his brother.
"It is time for the passing rite,"
the dino man labored as he held on to the last of his clarity, tooth and nail.
"You must take my place and my status. If anyone can unite the echelons, it is you."
But,
Siskhorn attempted to argue, but the set of his shoulders told me he knew it was a losing battle even before Siskhorn interrupted him yet again.
"Let my death be mine, Siskhorn,"
he snapped, and then he coughed pitifully.
"And you must accept your place, and the burden of doing what we must for Clan Skeros."
When the distraught ambassador conceded and hung his head, I gestured for the rest of us to give them some space, and the sad reality of what was about to take place blanketed our group with such a solemnity that none of us spoke. The day was getting shorter, and more screechers flocked like hungry vultures. But I didn't have the heart to rush the ambassador while he spoke with his brother for the last time. Finally, after what felt like ages, the late afternoon sun hung like a ripe orange in the sky, and Siskhorn came over with a telltale moisture in his eyes.
"My brother has requested the Augur woman collect his tears before the rite is enacted,"
the raptor man said, with a glance at Amaya, before he cast his gaze down and away.
"If you would be kind enough, that is."
"Of course,"
the Oryx woman said, without hesitation.
"But Amaya..."
her sister started, but Amaya held her hand up and looped her arm with the ambassador's.
"Of course,"
she repeated, with a tone that brooked no argument.
"And Brightwood...
Alex," he said with another furtive glance up at me this time.
"Siskhorn would have a final word with you."
"Of course," I parroted, for lack of anything else to say.
Horace,
I'll keep watch," he said immediately, and he eyed the flock of scavenger screechers waiting stoically for a meal they knew was nigh.
As the three of us walked back over to Siskhorn, he held his hand out for his brother to help him out of the sled. I saw how much of a struggle it was, so I jumped in on the ex-regent's other side and supported him under the arm so he could make it the few paces needed to reach a mostly flat rock.
We settled him on the surface, and he thanked us with a barely there voice.
Brightwood,
he rasped, and I came closer to his makeshift beer, so he wouldn't have to strain.
There are a few things my dying mind has forced itself to remember, but because of powerful binding magic, I could not reveal them with words, lest it kill me before the rite.
I understand, I told him, as Amaya came up and cupped his face. Let go, Siskorn of Clan Skaros. The ex-regent's face knotted up in a grimace of pain, but a moment later it eased into an expression of relief and peace. Gossamer tears pooled in the corner of one closed eye, and before the bead could grow too heavy and fall to the ground, Amaya dutifully cupped her hands against his outside cheek.
Thank you.
Siskorn sighed as the tears began to steadily course down his face in a single stream.
Brother, do it now. I am redeemed.
Siskorn pulled a stiletto blade hewn from a highly polished black onyx out from the inside of his armored belt, and Amaya swiftly moved out of the way with her hands cupping the precious liquid.
I take upon the righteous plight as is passed unto me,
Siskorn said, and aimed the point of the dagger over his brother's heart. Siskorn gathered his doula stone and his brother's in one hand.
And I willingly pass down my status to this noble Asher.
A light poured through his clenched fingers, right as Siskorn plunged the dagger through his heart. Siskorn didn't make a sound other than a sigh, and a balmy breeze cut through the crisp, wet air, which reminded me of spring. The same peace passed through me, and I somehow knew his spirit was finally at rest. Siskorn, I whispered when the raptor man bowed his head.
It is done,
he said, and pulled back from his brother.
You, Alex Brightwood, are witness to the passing, and to my newly gained seventh rank.
I nodded, but was at a loss of what to say during this situation, so I offered the only thing I could. Is there somewhere we can give your brother a proper burial? I asked, as I eyed the screechers. I would hate to dishonor him by leaving his body for the scavengers.
His body is brought honor by feeding the creatures of Tear. It is the way of our people,
Siskorn explained in a hollow tone as he straightened his body and hoisted his pack.
Give me one moment, and I will be ready to depart.
I nodded and let him gather himself as I turned my attention to Amaya. The Oryx woman was perched on top of a boulder with her cupped hands stretched toward the sky, as if she was trying to warm it with the sun's rays, and her sister Anwar was standing next to her with arms folded across her chest.
You know you can't do any scrying with that without a proper vessel,
the Ibex woman said as she shook out her autumn hair.
Yes, Anna,
Amaya said, and based on her tone, it sounded as if she'd been hearing her sister's criticism for a while.
But there was no way I could refuse him, and I'm glad I didn't. What do you mean?
Anwar questioned when I walked over to the conversation.
I can feel it in my hands when I hold it,
the augur woman said as her irises started to glow faintly.
There are things concealed. Something about...
She gasped as she locked eyes with me.
About what, Amaya?
Anwar urged.
There is the terrible fetid smell of infection. But underneath that all, there is something about... Rylan,
she said, and I snapped my head around, looking for the kid in question. My son was chatting with Horace as they kept an eye on the screecher sentinels waiting for an opening now that they could smell new death. What about him? I nearly growled, as my mixed feelings about the ex-regent clashed with the sympathy I felt for Siskorn. Just because I resented his dubious dealings in the past didn't mean he deserved to waste away like he had. Can you tell what it's about through your touch, Ames? However, if his shit spilled over into my territory, I needed to know what we were up against.
I'm trying,
she said, as her eyes glowed even brighter until they consumed her pupils.
What
Anwar asked.
There really is only one thing for it,
the Oryx woman said, and before either her sister or I could stop her, Amaya brought her cupped hands up to her mouth and swallowed the tears whole.
Amaya!
Her sister gasped and tried to grab her before she fell off the boulder. But she wasn't quick enough, and the Oryx woman's booted feet scraped off the rock before she arched to the side. If I hadn't been standing below her already, she would have fallen hard and possibly hit her head on one of the numerous sharp rocks scattered around. Amaya, I said breathlessly, when I caught her in my arms. And then I lowered her to the ground as her body began to shake and convulse. Amaya! What's wrong with her? Anwar jumped down from the boulder and was at her sister's side in an instant.
Oh, you foolish girl.
The mage clicked her teeth and placed her palms on either side of Amaya's head. Then the Ibex woman's opal eyes flashed, and her palms glowed faintly.
Because we don't have access to a proper scrying vessel, she has taken it upon herself to become the vessel. The initial process is always a shock to her system, but I think I can help soothe her.
I watched with a tense jaw as the Augur woman's convulsing slowed to mere twitches, and I squeezed her hand.
Alex? What's... Oh!
Shay's voice cut off as she and Zoe noticed the commotion and hurried up to us.
Is Amaya okay?
What happened?
Zoe also questioned with concern in her gaze. Amaya swallowed the Regent's tears, I said, and frowned down at the Oryx woman's paler-than-usual complexion.
Something is wrong,
Anwar said and gave voice to the one thing I was dreading for her to say.
She is stabilized, but she does not wake. There is something blocking me from reaching her.
Maybe I could...
Shay started to offer with her own hand outstretched, but was cut off by Anwar grabbing her wrist.
No!
The mage nearly shouted, but she quickly removed her hand with an apologetic expression.
I'm sorry, Shay, but until you really learn to control your power, the answer is no.
I understand,
the Phoenix woman said with a respectful nod, even though it was clear she was at least partially stung.
What can we do for her?
I don't know,
Anwar faltered.
I hate to break that up over there, Horace said as he stamped a foot in front of a pack of curious screechers, now becoming interested in the fallen woman. But these guys are becoming a lot more bold. Ow! Hey, you little scut bastard!
The screecher that tried to nip at the Falcon Man's ankle flapped back with a squawk. And when I took in the veritable horde of screechers huddled around us, and how they eyed Amaya's prone form with hunger, I couldn't help but think we were back to square one.